Now on the line I have Marie O'Connor of the Our Maternity Hospital Campaign Group. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning, Michael.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Tell us, Marie, what is the Our Maternity Hospital Campaign Group?
This is a campaign group that was set up in recent months to campaign against the private Catholic ownership of the new National Maternity Hospital. And what the campaign wants is to see the new maternity hospital in public ownership with a secular constitution.
I read down through your press release from last week. I know you had a campaign launch last Saturday.
That's right. And we had a campaign launch last Saturday, which was very successful.
One of the things that actually caught me on it was in the Teachers Club, and it's many years since I heard. The Teachers Club used to be a great venue for all sorts of meetings and things like that, but I haven't heard of it being used in recent times.
Oh, it's been a hotbed of political action for a long time.
It has indeed.
As well as theatre, dance, and lots of other things. Chano singing. We felt we needed to bring the campaign a stage further. We needed to get it out there. We believe that there are so many people who were involved, for example, in the repeal campaign, who are now very, very concerned by the plans for the new maternity hospital, because they feel that it boils down to ownership, it boils down to ethos, and that under private Catholic ownership, the new hospital is not going to provide abortion and related services. And well, that's the nub of the problem.
Well, the one thing that caught me most of all, and I've thought this for a while, if we, the public, the state of Ireland, are spending 350 million on a hospital, as far as I'm concerned, is it's ours. We should own it, and we shouldn't have any group, no matter what, whether it be a private business, a religious institution, you name it, whatever it is, we shouldn't be handing over the building to them, their ownership. We should retain ownership of that.
That's right, and one of our demands is that the 350 million euro that's earmarked for the new build, that be conditional on public ownership. But what the government is planning to do, in effect, is to gift the new hospital to the Sisters of Charity. And this is a model that goes back to the 1950s, and it's we find it extraordinary that history looks set to repeat itself in 2018. Because this model is not fit for purpose, this trickle-down model. And as you say, at one level, it doesn't really matter whether the ownership is Catholic or Muslim. What really matters is the private ownership. Because once you have a hospital in private ownership, then with private ownership come powers and privileges. And we saw that very lately. At the National Maternity Hospital itself, which many people might not know, is actually a private Catholic hospital to this day. They took a case against the Minister for Health recently, and that case involved a challenge to the Minister's power to set up an inquiry, an independent inquiry, following the death of a 34-year-old woman during surgery at the hospital. The National Maternity Hospital won its case. So the power of that hospital to block independent inquiry into a patient death was actually upheld by the High Court. So obviously this is a very serious matter, and it highlights for me and for all of us in the campaign the fact that the state really has no power over these private institutions. And no matter what the Taoiseach said in the Dáil the other day in response to a question from Roisin Shortall on the ownership, they do not fundamentally have that power in law in Ireland. It's as simple as that.
It's very worrying and concerning when any institution seeks to block an inquiry, when something goes wrong, and particularly when the government go to see, to seek, you know, what went wrong, and then that institution then goes and tries to block that inquiry. I find that very troubling, because I'm a believer in you should have openness, particularly when you're dealing with people's health. There should be openness and transparency. And what have you got to be afraid of from an inquiry?
Well, that's the trouble, really, with the private sector, isn't it? And with these private institutions, there is no openness and there is no transparency. And so what we want to see is a completely different setup. But what has been going on behind closed doors, and these talks have been going on for years, but 2 years ago, a deal was hammered out between the National Maternity Hospital, Hollow Street, and the company owned by the Sisters of Charity, St Vincent's Healthcare Group. And that deal involved the takeover by the Nuns' Company of Hollow Street Hospital. And Hollow Street agreed to this new arrangement. So when the new hospital, if it is built on land owned by the Nuns in Mount Merion at Ellen Park, if that goes ahead, then St Vincent's Healthcare Group will be the owner of the new hospital. And down the line, the plan is for that company to set up a new company to take over ownership of the Nuns' existing portfolio of three hospitals, which is St Vincent's University Hospital, which is a private hospital. Then you have St Vincent's private hospital, which is even more private, presumably. And then you have St Michael's Hospital, Dunleary. So those are the hospitals owned by the Sisters of Charity at the moment. And the plan is that they will own a fourth, or that this new company being set up by St Vincent's Healthcare Group will actually own the hospital ultimately. And that is the plan. That's what it was in the Mulvey Agreement. And that's what the Minister for Health has been saying all along, that this deal is proceeding on the basis of that agreement. And we know what's in it because it was published.
There's an old adage in business, and it goes by the way of KISS. And you know what that means? It means keep it simple, stupid. And what you've just said to me is they're making this so complicated.
That's right.
The simple thing, and you know, I'm thinking of if somebody has a problem, and you know, problems are going to happen. You know, there are going to be issues. When you have a convoluted ownership of something,
yes, yeah,
who do you bring to court, or who do you have to get the permission of to do an inquiry? So keep it simple. The state owns it. End of story.
Well,
just the state owns it, and that's it.
Simple. There's nothing simple about the deal that was reached, and it looks like there's nothing simple about the talks that are going on at the moment between the state, the St Vincent's Healthcare Group and the National Maternity Hospital. From what Mr Varadkar said the other day, those talks seem to be in some difficulty, and it's not surprising because it's not possible to hammer out anything as convoluted, as you say, rightly, as that seems to be, which would guarantee the state powers and privileges over what will be a private institution. It's not going to happen, and we've seen that before. And what we've seen as well in the past is that the government, the state, always seems to be in the halfpenny place. It's like we provide the money and then we have no say. So there's a serious lack of fit here. And if you look back at, for example, the Mater Hospital here, not far from me, which was sold by the Sisters of Mercy, I think it was 2001, to the government, to the state, on condition that the Catholic ethos of the hospital would be maintained. So It looks like there's always been a reluctance by the government to grasp this particular nettle. And what it looks like around the new maternity hospital is that the government has just stood idly by and rubber-stamped a deal between two private Catholic institutions. And, you know, that would be fair and fine if there weren't public monies involved. But since this is a question of 350 million of our money, then we should have a say. We should decide. And as you say, the only sensible and reasonable thing to do here is to take the hospital into public ownership, because if we don't, we have no power whatsoever over them. If the minister couldn't even compel an independent investigation into a death, then there's little hope that anything more can be done. And certainly it's delusional for him to say that abortion and all other services permitted in law will be provided at the new hospital, because that simply isn't going to happen. And what's been said by, for example, St. Vincent's is quite interesting. It's over a year ago now, last May, 12 months, when they announced that the nuns were walking off the pitch, which in itself is probably another mirage. Then the chairman of St. Vincent's Healthcare Group told the world that the services would continue to be provided in line with the Catholic ethos. So he assured the public that himself, his board and his 4,000 staff would continue to provide Catholic faith-based services. And in fact, the National Maternity Hospital issued a press release itself welcoming the maintaining of these values. So, I mean, I think the writing is on the wall, and I don't think that anybody looking at what's out there could draw a different conclusion. The fact is that the new maternity hospital is the biggest investment ever made by this country in maternity care, and it's got to be in public hands, and it's got to be secular. And this is really the only way that that repeal and all of the services associated with repeal can actually be guaranteed. And we also should factor in the fact that the bishops recently issued a code for Catholic healthcare facilities in this country, which is the first time they've done anything like this for 30 years. And almost everything that you can think about is banned. You know, everything from artificial contraception to surrogacy to IVF, which is not for married couples, heterosexual couples, to you name it, and it's forbidden. So, you know, is the new hospital really going to flout the bishop's code for such hospitals? I doubt it.
And I've got to say, you know, that we have to say thank you to all the religious orders, you know, of whatever persuasion, for providing hospitals when the state wasn't in a position to many years ago. But today we live in a secular society, and when we say in the National Maternity Hospital, that should be open to everyone and to all, and it should be carried out under the laws of the land. So if something is permitted under laws of the land, it should be available there. And we can't have one body or one side of a debate controlling what is meant to be our National Maternity Hospital.
Well, you're absolutely right. And the fact is that while services will be provided to everybody from whatever background, the question is what services, and this is really the point. The government has always maintained that everybody will be looked after, but the point is what are the services that will actually be available. So you're looking at history, and history shows us that ethos affects treatment. Sterilisation, for example, has never been provided at St Vincent's because it conflicts with the values of the Sisters of Charity and, of course, with the teaching of the Catholic Church. And what we've seen here in recent years, which is a really new development because it came from canon law, which is the code, the legal code of the Catholic Church, they provide now for the setting up of companies, canon law companies, to take to deal with questions of ownership and ethos in the hospitals and schools that have been owned by religious congregations, and so that there's a likelihood, in fact, down the road, that the new company, St. Vincent's, will actually be incorporated as a company in canon law. And if that happens, it will be answerable to the hierarchy for its activities and for the services that it provides. So the Vatican, for example, if they're the supervisor, then they look for annual reports showing that the institution in question has complied with the teaching of the Church. So that's a very distinct possibility, and that has been... That worry has been expressed by Dr. Peter Boylan, who's a former master of Hollow Street Hospital, and is somebody who would be very, very aware of the currents out there, and in fact of, you know, what people are actually saying, because all we, the public, have access to is the Mulvey report. And Mulvey didn't even consider fundamental questions of ownership and of ethos and of what should happen with public monies. And all that was done there was that the two private organisations in question came together, came to their own agreement, and the government promptly rode in and backed it. But I suppose when you consider the fact that Fine Gael health policy would... is to privatise the health services, then I suppose the whole thing begins to make some kind of sense, not to us, but in the light of a privatisation policy, this is more of same.
Yes, but there's one thing privatising something, and you know, there's merits on both sides whether you're going to privatise something. But when you're putting public money into it, particularly 350 million, I would suggest no. It stays in public ownership. And as I mentioned earlier, when you start to bring in all these other complications, you start to confuse things, and it ends up costing a lot more money. And you're often better times, you know, taking the bull by the horns in the first place and just paying out the extra few bob, clear the playing pitch, and it's in public ownership. Pay whatever you have to for the land, whether that has to be compulsory purchase, you name it, wherever it is, just do it so that there's no complications to it.
That's right. And people... women need to be assured that the services that they require for their health will be guaranteed at the new maternity hospital. And the, as you know, Hollow Street Hospital has served women from as far away as Wexford. So this is an issue that affects particularly, of course, Dublin, but the entire country. And if you take the city of Dublin, for example, on the north side here, we have the Rotunda. That's in private ownership. Further out, we have the Coombe. That's in private ownership. So Dublin's three maternity hospitals don't belong to Dublin at all. They're in private ownership. So that's worrying, really, when you think about it.
And
only one of them is not Catholic identified, and that's the Rotunda. And when Hollow Street was set up over 100 years ago, it was set up on the basis that people didn't think the Coombe Hospital was actually Catholic enough. So, and they themselves are governed by a charter that's over 100 years old, that was amended by the Dáil, I think it was 1936. So there's it's, if you look back on it, it's quite stagnant, really. And it is a little bit self-governing and self-perpetuating. And you've got, in theory, up to 100 governors. And these are all people, you know, who probably descend from the people who were wealthy enough to endow the hospital on day one. And it's been like that ever since. And you've got the masters and the families of the masters and so on and so forth. So it's a very, very, very closed institution. And I think with a tiny number of representatives of the public interest, something like 4 out of 100. So when you consider the money that you know it takes to actually maintain these institutions, I think, for example, at the last count, the Sisters of Charity got over 250 million from the state to run their hospitals on the last accounts that are publicly available. So there's an awful lot of money at stake here, and it's not only the money for the new build, it's the money year on year on year that it takes to maintain the institution. And at the end of the day, as you say, keep it simple. He who pays the piper calls the tune, and that needs to be what happens in this case.
Mary, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and thanks for coming on. And I think I'll leave it with the thing is, we see around the country, we know what's happening down in Tuam and in other places, and what we see is what occurs when there isn't proper oversight, when things aren't open and clear for everybody to see what can happen.
That's right. And, of course, the Sisters of Charity did run a number of Magdalene laundries and other institutions. They were one of the orders that were tasked with contributing financially to the abuse bill back a few years ago. Sadly, they have never paid that share of that bill. I think 3 or 4 years ago, they refused to contribute anything at all to the women who had been detained in their Magdalene laundries.
Mary, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for chatting to me today.
Thank you very much indeed, Michael, for having me on.